From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia urges G20 countries to realize ceasefire in Gaza. Chairing the MIKTA Foreign Ministers meeting, Indonesia encourages increasing MIKTA's role as a middle power. And here's the news in detail. Indonesia urges G20 countries to materialize a permanent ceasefire in Gaza-Palestine. This was pointed out by Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, at the G20 Foreign Ministers meeting in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on Wednesday. In a statement received in Jakarta on Thursday, she explained that the ceasefire has an important role in creating a conducive atmosphere towards negotiations for a two-state solution. Besides, she also remarked that Indonesia has affirmed that G20 countries must avoid double standards in responding to the Palestinian conflict.
Saya tekankan bahwa perlakuan kita kepada Palestina tidak boleh berbeda.
I affirm that our treatment of Palestine shouldn't be different from our treatment for other situations. I ask G20 countries not to remain silent watching Israel destroy hospitals, schools, and refugee camps. I also urge G20 countries to increase support for Palestine, including the UNRWA, and not stop it, because at this moment, Palestine needs our solidarity and help.
Palestina memerlukan solidaritas dan bantuan kita.
Moreover, Indonesia also asked the G20 countries to contribute to dealing with global problems, which are currently increasing, including technological advances which are becoming a new threat to the world. According to Minister Retno, G20 member countries have a responsibility to be contributors to world peace and stability. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi chaired the meeting of MIKTA Foreign Ministers. And during the meeting, Indonesia also handed over the chairmanship of MIKTA from Indonesia to Mexico. Foreign Minister Retno, in a statement received in Jakarta on Thursday, stated that she emphasized the importance of strengthening MIKTA's role as a middle power. According to Minister Retno, MIKTA must take advantage of diversity as a cross-regional group.
MIKTA harus berkontribusi untuk meredakan ketegangan.
MIKTA must contribute to easing tensions in their respective regions, particularly as a convening power. For example, Indonesia's role in trying to continue to contribute to maintaining stability and peace in Southeast Asia. Furthermore, Foreign Minister Retno also pointed out that MIKTA must be able to produce more concrete projects to overcome global challenges. According to Minister Retno, the realization of MIKTA's concrete projects will increase MIKTA's role in global governance. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir stated that Indonesia's economy can potentially grow amid the recession in Japan and the United Kingdom. The government surely hopes for better economic growth next year. If today's economic growth is at 5.05%, Indonesia might reach the 5.5% next year. While many countries experience a recession, there is a chance for Indonesia to grow. It depends on whether the government can do it or not. Minister Thohir made the statement at the PT BNI Central Business District Building Construction groundbreaking event in Tangerang, Banten, as quoted by Antara on Wednesday. He also highlighted the need for Indonesia to create a friendlier market for investors to boost the country's economy. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita has highlighted that the use of digital technology can boost the competitiveness value and the productivity of the manufacturing industry. He noted that the implementation of technology in industries can have positive impacts in the fields of finance, operations, and technology innovation. In a statement from his ministry on Wednesday, he remarked that transforming through Industry 4.0 principles is believed to significantly enhance productivity, competitiveness, efficiency, value-added contribution, and the sustainability of Indonesian national industry. He noted that to realize the goal, the government issued a Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap in 2018 to expedite digital transformation in the country's manufacturing sector. The roadmap aims to make Indonesia one of the 10 strongest economies in the world by 2030. The White House is moving forward with reforms aimed at shoring up cybersecurity at U.S. ports, some of which may already be in danger of falling under the sway of hackers linked to China. As reported by VOA.com, President Joe Biden issued an executive order Wednesday, assigning responsibility for cybersecurity at ports and other maritime facilities to the U.S. Coast Guard, with the goal of making sure minimum security requirements are put in place as quickly as possible. The order also will allow the Coast Guard to conduct cyber safety inspections of facilities and ships, and even limit the movement of vessels suspected of posing a cyber threat to U.S. ports. The changes also call for mandatory reporting of cyber attacks on maritime facilities. Residents conveyed on Wednesday, Israel stepped up its bombardment of the southern city of Rafah, and the Gaza Health Ministry stated that the death toll in the war across the devastated Palestinian Strip rose to 29,313. As reported by ArabNews.com in its daily summary of events in Gaza, the Israel army said it had intensified its operations in Khan Yunis, a city just north of Rafah. It didn't mention any attacks on Rafah itself and didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. About 1.5 people are estimated to be cramped into Rafah on the southernmost fringe on the enclave close to the boundary with Egypt, most of them having fled their homes for the north to escape Israel's military onslaught. Israel has said it was preparing for a ground assault on Rafah despite mounting opposition from foreign countries, including its staunch ally, the United States, over concern for civilian lives. Visit Vietnam Year Dien Bien 2024 is expected to bring endless experiences to tourists. There will be 169 programs and events throughout the year in association with the 70th anniversary of the Dien Bien Phu victory on May 7th. Trinh Thi Thuy, Deputy Minister of Culture, Sports and Tourism, said beside historical and cultural traditions, Dien Bien offers rich tourism potential. Trinh Thi Thuy expressed his thanks to its strengths. The province has adopted a tourism development orientation for 2025, Vision 2 2030. As co-authored by VOV.vn, according to Thuy, Dien Bien has defined tourism as a spearhead economic sector on the basis of unlocking potentials and advantages in three main pillars: spiritual historical tourism, national cultural identity tourism, and vacation, entertainment, and health tourism. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Ministry of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises is establishing bilateral cooperation with Timor-Leste to strengthen micro, small and medium enterprises (MSMEs) as well as cooperative so that they provide more benefits to the economies of both countries. This cooperation was confirmed in the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between the two countries, which was held in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Teten Mas Duki said that the scope of the collaboration included a commitment to develop capacity building, partnerships between cooperatives, feasibility studies related to developing the business potential of cooperatives and SMEs, training and exchange visit, as well as strengthening SMEs and cooperative programs through regional collaboration. Minister Teten Mas Duki further remarked that this collaboration will open up broad opportunities for cooperatives and MSMEs in both countries to learn from each other and exchange information. He added that in the future, the government of Indonesia and Timor-Leste can jointly evaluate certain sectors that may be developed by cooperatives and MSMEs so that they can strengthen the existing cooperation. He also hopes that this memorandum of understanding can be implemented well and all parties can make good use of this opportunity, and if successful, it can be continued for the next memorandum of understanding period. Meanwhile, Secretary of State for Cooperative for Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste, Arsenio Pereira da Silva, said that the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding was a follow-up to the previous meeting between Indonesia and Timor-Leste at the 2023 ASEAN Inclusive Business Summit. Da Silva hopes that through this collaboration, his side can learn to develop MSMEs and cooperatives so that they are stronger and can grow together in ASEAN region.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to our program, Today in History. We begin Today in History with an event of February 22nd about World Scout Day. World Scout Day is celebrated every February 22nd. This anniversary coincides with the birthday of the father of the world scouting, Baden-Powell. Baden-Powell is the founder of the scouting movement throughout the world, which became the forerunner of the scout movement. The first scouting organization was founded for boys with the name Boy Scout in 1908, followed by a scouting organization for women in 1912 with the name Girl Scout. Since the existence of these organizations, the scout movement began to be known throughout the world, including one in Indonesia. The first scout movement brought to Indonesia during the Dutch colonial period under the name Nederland Indies Pathfinders Vereniging, which means Associations of Dutch East Indies Scouts. We move to the next event. In 1957, first president of South Vietnam survived assassination's attempt. The first president of the Republic of Vietnam or South Vietnam, Ngo Dinh Diem, survived a shooting assassination's attempt by Viet Cong communists in Banh Mi Thuot on February 22, 1957. However, on November 2, 1963, Ngo Dinh Diem was killed in a coup launched by the South Vietnamese Army. We end Today in History with an event of the Istiqlal Day. Istiqlal Day is an important day to commemorate the history of the founding of the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta on February 22, 1978. One of the largest mosques in Southeast Asia was built as a place of worship as well as a reminder of the struggle and harmony of the Indonesian people. Referring to the Istiqlal office website, the idea for building this mosque was initiated by Wahid Hashim, who previously served as Indonesia's first minister of religion and several Islamic scholars. The idea was part of the desire to have a mosque that could become a symbol for post-independence Indonesia. That is today in history.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world.
on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's edition of My Indonesia comes with the title, Environment Ministry Prepares Waste-to-Energy Mining Scheme. The Indonesian government is preparing a scheme to support waste reductions, including mining at landfill, turning waste into energy, and optimizing the operation of waste banks across the country. In a discussion commemorating the National Waste Day 2024 in Jakarta, on Wednesday, 21st of February, Environment and Forestry Ministry's Director General for Waste Management, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati, said the productive effort was necessary to reduce the waste going into the landfill and heap of waste in open areas. According to Rosa Vivin, her side would use tech for landfill mining so that waste can be turned into energy. Landfill mining is a mining at inactive zone of a landfill with decomposed waste. The buried waste can be used as a material for refuse-derived fuel as coal replacement. The landfill mining has been implemented, among many, at Bantar Gebang Landfill in Jakarta. Besides, the Environment and Forestry Ministry has been considering the use of compost from organic waste that is collected from waste banks to be used in forests. That reminded one of the issues faced by waste banks, namely off-takers, or those who take results from waste banks to be distributed to industry or anyone needing recycling material. On the occasions, the Environment and Forestry Ministry launched the Waste Bank Manual to support waste banks operational in Indonesia that can fulfill standards and demands of recycling industry. That was because the recycling industry needs a consistent amount of sorted waste and raw materials categorized as clean, not mixing between organic and inorganic waste. That is My Indonesia for today.
Terfikirkan olehmu, hatiku
you are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
If you travel to Kutai, East Kalimantan, don't forget to try its typical cuisine, nasi bekepor or bekepor rice. This delight was once known as the food of nobles and kings. At that time, bekepor rice was a special menu often served when the king of Kutai received a visit from a guest of honor. In the Kutai language, bekepor means to move or to rotate. It is called bekepor rice because of the way it is cooked on a wood-fired stove, then rotated while stirring so that it cooks evenly. Nasi bekepor or bekepor rice is cooked over wood charcoal by mixing half-cooked rice with basil leaves, chilies, lime juice, vegetables oil, and pieces of salted fish in a large cauldron. Bekepor rice is fluffy, but the color is a bit pale and oily because it has been mixed with oil and various spices. It tastes savory and delicious with an appetizing aroma of spices. Nasi bekepor or bekepor rice is usually eaten with several side dishes such as meat seasoned with soy sauce, eggplant soup with dayak onions, Hovan's carp fish, ganggan asam or sour vegetables cooked with fish head and sweet potatoes, and gansruang, a typical East Kalimantan fried chili sauce. Don't forget the sambal raja, the perfect accompaniment to eating bekepor rice. This chili sauce is made from a mix of 6 ingredients: fried eggplant chili sauce, asparagus beans, chives, boiled egg, mudfish, boiled shrimp, and queenie mango. Bekepor rice is sold in restaurant in Kutai at a price of around 25,000 to 30,000 rupiah, or 1.5 to 2 US dollar per portion.
Perjalanan membawamu bertemu denganku, ku bertemu kamu. Sepertimu yang ku cari, konon aku juga seperti yang kau cari. Ku kira kita asam dan garam, dan kita bertemu di belanga. Kisah yang ternyata tak seindah itu. Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kasih sayangmu membekas, redam kini sudah, pijar istimewa. Entah apa maksud dunia tentang ujung cerita kita tak bersama.
Semoga rindu ini menghilang. Konon katanya waktu sembuhkan. Akan adakah lagi yang sepertimu? Kukira kita akan bersama. Begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala. Kukira ini kan mudah kalau ku jadi kita. Kau melanjutkan perjalananmu. Lanjutkan perjalananku. Kukira kita akan bersama. Begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kukira kita akan bersama. Hati-hati di jalan.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Dear listeners, today's edition of Miscellany comes with the title F1 Powerboat 2024 in Toba Lake, North Sumatra. Listeners, today's edition of Miscellany has the topic F1 Powerboat 2024. Indonesia, truly in journey, is again holding the F1 Powerboat event, F1 H20, which will be held in the Lake Toba area, Balige Toba Regency, North Sumatra, from 2nd to 3rd of March 2024. F1 Powerboat is a motorboat racing event organized by the Union Internationale Motonautique, or UIM. F1 H20 Lake Toba will feature 18 international racers from around 10 countries. This year, the event will be colored strongly with Batak cultural nuances, where Batak culture will be combined with a beautiful view of Lake Toba. At the F1 H20 event, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno hopes that there will be multiple effects from F1 powerboat activities on Lake Toba, North Sumatra, increasing by 20 to 25% from the previous economic impact of 391 billion rupiahs. Meanwhile, Minister of Youth and Sport Dito Aryo Tejo said that with the launch of the water sport event on Lake Toba, the government will prepare a special academy to educate athletes so that they can compete in international championships such as the F1 Powerboat and Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship. Besides racing event, F1 Powerboat will also present other F1 Powerboat will also present other events to enliven this event, including the Solu Bolon, a traditional boat competition between districts throughout North Sumatra, and the first Aquabike Indonesian Championship Series competition will be participated in by approximately 30 Indonesian jet ski athletes. In this event, two categories will be held, namely endurance and parallel slalom. In addition, there are also cultural festivals and exhibitions of micro, small, and medium enterprises products from 29th of February to 3rd of March 2024. That was Miscellany for today.
Panggil ibu sementara aku ayah. Bertukar cerita hingga lelap mata. Lalu datang pagi kau memasak, ku bekerja.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. This week edition, we're going to discuss about Boomerang. Boomerang is a group music from Surabaya, Indonesia. Boomerang has a name at first, Los Angeles. It was formed by Johannes Paulus Ivan on 1991. Officially, they were changing their name into Boomerang in 1994. Even though they change personnel oftenly, but their rock music has become hits. One of them is Kisah. Kisah is consists on the second album of Boomerang called K.O., which was released in 1995. And this song was written by a vocalist, Roy Giconia, and tells a story about someone who cannot forget the beautiful memories together with his ex-lover. So, here's the song Kisah by Boomerang.
Betapa ku merindukan saat-saat yang indah seperti dulu. Ku ingin kau tahu ku selalu mencintaimu. Buang keraguanmu, kau selalu di hatiku. Begitu banyak kisah kita alami, suka pun prahara melari di mentari, mengulang cinta kita berdua. Bernyanyi lagi tentang
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.